It's time for Hartley's CAT Scan, a weekly podcast featuring the who's who of your Prince George Cougars.
Welcome to CAT Scan, brought to you by Integris. Local speaks louder than words. Tyler Bruff is the head coach of the Caribou Cougars under 18 team, and he is the president of the Prince George Cougars Alumni Association. Well, we have a lot to discuss, including upcoming games outdoor in Fort St. James. But let's start right at the beginning for you, Tyler. I bet a bit of a relief. The team ended a lengthy losing skid on the weekend, the first weekend of the new year, against the Thompson Okanagan Blazers. So I imagine for you, a big relief there.
Yeah, definitely. We, we had a real tough stretch there leading up to Christmas. We couldn't, the Christmas break couldn't come quick enough, to be honest with you. It was nice to just get a reset. I think we needed it. The boys needed it. And, we kind of reset a few of our goals and talked about some things that we needed to tighten up as a team. And, luckily enough, and to credit of the boys, they followed through with a solid weekend and got two wins that we desperately needed.
I have not recalled this Caribou team ever having dropped 10 in a row. For you as a coach, I don't even know if you've ever gone through that. How were you able to do it when considering overall the team has had so much success historically?
Yeah, I'd be lying to you if I told you it wasn't a challenge. I mean, I've been fortunate as a player to play on some pretty good teams throughout my, even minor hockey career and into junior and some senior hockey, and never been a part of it as a player. And then obviously fortunate as a coach as well with Caribou to win a lot of hockey games. So it was new territory for not only myself, but our staff. And there was definitely some challenges. I think, we deserved better along the way, but, didn't happen. We didn't get a save when we needed it, didn't get a goal when we needed it. And that's kind of how it worked out for a lot of games in a row there, which is sometimes the way it goes. But, we definitely don't want to make excuses for ourselves, and we're happy that it's ended. We're hoping that we can go on a little bit of a run here the other direction and continue to do things the right way, which I think was a big step this weekend, just in playing the right way and not trying to cheat the game.
And, the team is, I guess, if you want to say, stuck in seventh out of nine, which means, you're going to make the playoffs and everything like that. All teams think that they are better than their record would indicate. I know you feel that about this particular team. A lot of things didn't go your way. A lot of the games that you did lose were very close games. What were the things that you, like, when you take a look at your team that you know you're a little bit better that maybe you haven't shown yet?
Well, you know what? Our season really took a turn when, unfortunately, North Island was supposed to come up. They had some illnesses, and that weekend didn't happen. It ended up being right around the decision time for the Max. We were 5-2-1 at the time, feeling pretty good about our game. And, whether it's a psyche thing or, in our heads, but we definitely took a turn for the worse there and had a weekend against the Chiefs that, could have went either way, both games, but we ended up losing both. And, like the snowball effect, we kind of were reeling for a few games, I guess you could put it that way. But again, I don't like to make excuses for anybody. I really believe in this group. I like this group. They're hardworking. And maybe that's what makes it that much more frustrating, is I do believe we should have had better. We should have had a few more wins, but we didn't get them. So that's reality. And we got to continue to believe in our systems and believe in ourselves. And, hopefully at the end of the day, wherever we end up and whoever we end up playing is aware that we feel like we can play with a lot of teams in the league and maybe beat them. So, we got to stick to it here. And there's still a long ways before playoffs come. So if we continue to do things the right way, I think we'll benefit it come playoff time.
Now, one of the weekends will be home in Fort St. James, outdoor. Sort of give us the rundown, all the details this year, who you're playing, when it is, the girls, the Northern Caps, they also play. Big, big event each year. It's become an annual where everybody talks about the thrill of playing outdoors.
Yeah, it's a weekend that we all look forward to once, you know, the boys kind of make the team, and I think it's something that's talked about early on in the year. And then, you know, the staff, there's a lot of preparation that goes into it from Trevor's standpoint and from the local people out there in Fort St. James and the Cosley Band. And I mean, it's such a great event. I love the fact that we get to go early. Usually it's myself and the coaches, and we take the captains early and go on the ice with some of the local players and visit a few high schools. Obviously during COVID, we were not able to have the games, or it was a slimmed down version. You know, this year we're headed out Friday. We'll be able to visit a couple schools, just talk about our program and the game, and they always come up with some great questions, and then go on the ice with a few of the younger groups, and, you know, just make the whole weekend leading up to the game just that much better. And, you know, I think that obviously the addition of the girls' games outdoor in the last couple of years, they're going to play on the Friday night, which is a big build-up for them. And, you know, they've added a U11 game. Two PG teams from here are going to play on the Sunday after basically it's all done. So it's kind of cool for everyone involved, and, you know, something to look forward to. And it's just a great event. And I'm, you know, so glad we get to do it. And it's a privilege. Some of these guys will never get a chance to do this ever again. So, you know, we don't take it lightly, and we definitely want to come out on the winning side this year. So
January 20th, the Friday, the girls play. January 21st, you guys play. And who's your opposition again?
We got the Thompson Blazers coming up.
Right, okay. And then you said on the Sunday, there's an under-11 game, and they're going to be outdoors?
Yeah, so it's a U11 Tier 1 teams. There's split teams. So apparently they're coming up on the Sunday, and they're going to have a little game against each other. They're black and white. It's you know, it'll be fun for them. It's exciting, and I think for young guys like that, it's, you know, basically an outdoor rink kind of atmosphere. And you know, I'm kind of excited just to see the excitement in those young guys, and have a few fans standing around and watching them play outdoors. And it's, you know, I tell our guys, it's basically like going back to a kid. You know, it's outdoor fashion. It's just a great atmosphere and something that they you know, they'll remember for a long time.
And really, the colder the better, correct?
Yeah. Especially, I mean, we've dealt with some ice issues over the years, so I'm a big fan of cold weather that weekend, and I just want to make sure the ice is good and the game happens and everyone has a good time. So, I mean, if it means we got to bundle up a little bit more, then we're all for it, right? We just came through a weekend playing Thompson, so kind of joked at the end of the game on Sunday, just make sure you pack your long johns. It could very well be, 20 below. I think it's calling for 8 or 10 below, which is perfect. So hopefully it all plays out smoothly here.
Now, what, has this been going 4 or 5 years now?
Yeah, I think this will be the fifth year. Again, we had a break there with COVID, so it kind of mashes up everyone's memory. But, yeah, I believe this is the fifth year of the game.
The highs and the lows of what you remember from the other game?
Again, the highs, I think it's just seeing the look on some of our guys' face. You know, the game is great. It's always a build-up, but, you know, I've always liked the pregame skate in the morning, that we kind of get out there and it's a little bit more laid back, and guys are getting a feel for, you know, how cold it is, or, you know, the sun's out, and it's just a different atmosphere. You know, we were fortunate a few years back at the Max we lined up doing a pregame skate outside just near a friend's place that was a full-size sheet, and it was awesome, and it's, you know, very similar. The lows, obviously we've had a couple issues where it's warmed up too much and it was 0 or +2, and we had some ice issues and we weren't able to finish a game, or it was called after a tie, we didn't do overtime. So that would be a low, but I mean, that's Mother Nature and there's nothing we can do about it. Trevor and the staff there that did everything in their power to, you know, make the ice great and continue it. So out of our hands, but I mean, to me, it's just such a great event, and you know, I'm proud to be able to be a part of it, and hopefully these guys, which I know they do, really appreciate all the work and effort that goes into it.
Now, you also play them on Sunday, but that will be indoors. Has there ever been any talk of having a doubleheader outdoors?
No, there hasn't been. I think, you know, and again, with the ice issues that we've had over the past few years, I think it's more about trying to get through the one game. I think the addition of the girls' game outside, you know, might double up on that pressure, just trying to get through two games. Obviously, when you're using the outdoor ice there, it gets, you know, chewed up quite a bit. And I know they've put the ice in a little earlier this year, so I'm hoping there's a big, strong base there that, you know, if it does warm up to 3 or 4 below, it's still, you know, still able to get through both games for the girls and for us.
How will you coach differently outdoors compared to when you play them indoors the next day?
Well, we definitely try to simplify things. We're not definitely not trying to overhandle the puck. It's typically, you know, everyone's played outdoors at some point in their life, and you know how, you know, pucks tend to act like tennis balls out in the outdoor rinks. So, you know, we're going to simplify. We're going to try and show as many pucks as we can at net from all angles and expect it coming back at us as well. You know, it's a small surface, so time and space is not there. We talk about it a lot. We simplify during the week. We've went as far as, you know, playing a lot more small area games leading up to it in years past, and we'll continue to do that. There's a lot that you can talk about and go through, but there's a lot that just has to be instinct as well. And I kind of tend to just communicate to our guys about, you know, you guys have all played on outdoor rinks as kids, and that's exactly what the mentality and the feeling is going to be.
Roughly how many fans have you had for those outdoor games in the past, and how is the fan reaction any different compared to a regular game?
Well, you know what? In years past, it's been pretty incredible. I mean, I think it's always kind of weather dependent. There's some people that when it is 15 below or 20 below, they shy away. And then there's others that, you know, when the sun's out, they want to come. So, I think the support's been actually really good. We've had people, I'll never forget, we had one group of people there had a couch strapped to the top of their Suburban, and they were watching the game up on the, sitting on the couch. It was incredible. And, you know, I think just the atmosphere itself is pretty cool to see. It's, you know, you got the lights going and people lined up all around the rink, and the rafters are, the stands are full. And I mean, they've done a great job there. They've added, you know, dressing rooms and stands and different things over the years just to make the experience better for not only for the players and the staffs, but for the people that are watching and want to come and take part of it. So it's again, it's just an incredible atmosphere. And, you know, again, hats off to the people that do all the great work for us.
So it's a real big deal for the community of Fort St. James. Sort of talk about that, how the extra mile they go, what they have to do, how excited they are, and all of that.
Well, yeah, I mean, again, we have some great alumni players and their families that are around the area. I know the Goodwins, the Allens. I mean, there's just a lot of people that still continue to help out with the ice, cleaning, you know, all the different things that go into preparation in itself. And then, again, just the fact that we get to kind of engage with the community and talk to the young players and the locals about, you know, the fact that we want to be here, and it's great for not only for the game but for the Caribou program to, you know, kind of promote what we do and have them see how we do things. And I think it's just you know, it's a feel-good weekend for everybody, and I'm proud to be part of it. I love going into the schools and just being able to talk to the young athletes and young students about the game, and whether they play or not. There's always some pretty awesome questions from these young kids that are interested in the game or play the game, and hopefully one day they want to, you know, play hockey or be part of the program. And this is, you know, can be an inspiring weekend for a lot of the youth.
You had a long, successful hockey career, both with the Prince George Cougars, the WHL. You also played in Alberta and senior hockey. But did you ever have a chance to play outdoors in a meaningful game?
No, I never did. You know, and that's, again, I try to pass this on to our guys, is just the fact that, you know, this may never happen again where it's a meaningful game. So, you know, take it all in, enjoy it. Obviously, we want to win the game, but there's so much more to it than just, you know, winning the game. It's an experience, and, you know, they should take it all in and enjoy every minute of it. And, you know, that's why we kind of added the pregame skate, just to get used to the ice and get out there and have a smile on your face and kind of, you know, treat it a little bit differently than we would in a normal game day. You know, we got the guys got the black stuff on their eyes and they're all toques on and, you know, weather dependent. It's, again, it's just a fun event for everyone.
You're listening to CatScan. It's brought to you by Integris. Local speaks louder than words. Tyler Bruff is the head coach of the Caribou Cougars under 18 team, and he's also the president of the Prince George Cougars Alumni Association. Let's find out about the PG Cougars Alumni Association. Where is it at? How is it going? Give us sort of an update in terms of that.
Well, you know what? We've come off another successful golf tournament in July that we were able to open it back up to basically a regular tournament. We were able to invite a lot of the alumni back as opposed to the year previous where we kind of kept it local. We weren't really able to include guys that needed to travel. So which was, you know, had its challenges. The alumni following, I guess you could say, has really grown. I think everybody that's taken part in the golf tournament has had a great time. It's such a another good event that, you know, we're able to just meet with either players that you played with or players that played for the program or for the team in years before you or after you and kind of share one thing in common, right? So the event itself is blowing up. You know, there's wait lists on it to get into the tournament. We have a ton of local businesses and people that really support and, you know, make the tournament what it is. So, you know, it's given us the chance, the availability to kind of move up with the alumni. We're trying to add a few different things. I know Taylor Dakers and myself are kind of spitballing a few different ideas to get some guys back during the season, just to kind of add that flair, the alumni flair. And, you know, I like the fact that we have some local guys that played at the high levels and have, I don't know, big names around town still, whether it's business-wise or what they're doing in their careers now. So, you know, I think, you know, the sky's the limit. We can add as much as we really want.
But you have indicated in the past, has promised to come to Prince George once he's retired. So Dane O'Chara, believe it or not, finally retired. We thought the day would never come. Are you going to get him to come to PG?
Well, it's funny. I just been kind of going back and forth with him here in the last little while. I'm not going to say no for this year, but this summer might not be the summer. But he definitely is interested. I don't want to go too far here, but he's definitely interested in coming back to PG. He's really proud of, you know, this kind of being his starting point and a big jump in his career. So that's definitely not lacking. I think the fact that him and his family, you know, they reside in Europe in the summers makes it tough. But yeah, we'll kind of leave it at that. He's definitely interested in coming back. It's kind of when or what it's going to be for, that's yet to be seen. But, you know, like I said, he wants to be back in PG at some point for sure.
Give us some insight about him since you've had some discussions with him now that he's a retired player. I mean, nobody can believe he lasted at the level he did as long as he did. Very popular, very successful, very athletic, strong. He had it all. Have you talked to him about the adjustment now that he's not playing?
Not really in depth. I mean, obviously, I just kind of sent him a personal message there after it was announced, and just the fact that, I mean, it was, for me, it was, you know, an honor and a privilege to be a teammate with him years ago, and then just kind of see his career take off. And I mean, I think I've heard said this before and other people have as well, it's you know, he earned everything that he got himself. He, you know, he was told no and wasn't going to be good enough many times and refused to take that answer. And I mean, it's inspiring for many different ways, but I mean, he, you know, he's an NHL Hall of Famer and you know, the numbers speak for themselves, the championships speak for themselves. So I think he's, you know, he's a Hall of Fame hockey player, but he's also a Hall of Fame person too, which, you know, makes it even better. And, you know, you don't become the captain of the Boston Bruins by just, you know, picking a name out of the hat, that's for sure. So, you know, again, it's his career speaks for itself, and you know, if you know, he's earned everything that he's gotten. So it's nice to see. It's again, I'm proud to just say that I was a teammate with him at some point of his career.
Yeah, we're going back to the 1990s for that. I want to sort of get your view on this. You are an ex-WHL player. You follow the game very closely. The WHL, with the trade deadline, you have three basic teams, in Kamloops, Seattle, and Winnipeg, that made major trades, big deals, and gave up a lot of future and a lot of first-round picks and everything like that. And everybody sort of has views on that. When you hear that, are you thinking like most, why are these teams giving up so much to have players for such a little time as they make a run for the cup?
I do. I mean, I've seen it. We were just on the bus with my staff, kind of watching different things happen on social media. And you know what? I just think it's as much as we're all involved in the game still, I think the game has evolved so much. You know, I kind of flop back and forth. I think about the fact that, you know, you're emptying your cupboard for a chance to win something, but you could still lose. You know, it's typically one or two players don't win you championships. I mean, obviously they'll help. And it's always, obviously you're taking a chance either way. And then I flip to the other side and say, you know what, you know, if you chance to win, or you're in a situation where you have a chance to win, then maybe one or two players put you over the top. And, you know, if you're going to go in, you got to go all in. You know, Kamloops obviously hosting are all in. I think, you know, being able to witness Stankoven personally, you know, he played in our league as a 15-year-old and was dominant. I'm a big fan of the kid. He plays the game the right way. His skill backs it up. So, you know, if I'm the brass of Kamloops, I think I'm jumping on the Stankoven wagon, and you know, we're hosting the Mem Cup, and I'm going all in for sure, because I think that kid's obviously with Canada, and what we've seen him from the outside is, I mean, he's a winner. He's a champion. He plays the game the right way. So, I think if Kamloops is a city that's won before, you know, the organization knows it's a big deal. So for them to add another banner, have a chance to add banners, I think it's worth it. Some of these trades I've seen, there's a long list in return, which, like I said, can empty your cupboard quick. So, I mean, if you're not sure about it, it's a tough pill to swallow if for some reason you lose in the first round or second round, or not, you know, kind of reach the goals that you think you're able to attain with these moves.
Well, Seattle, Kamloops, and Winnipeg, they all can't win a WHL championship because all three have loaded up. All three can't be at the Memorial Cup. Now, two could, based on how things go, but somebody's going to lose out somewhere. We don't know if there is going to be a winner, and it's certainly an interesting gamble, an interesting topic, and it comes around on January the 10th, the deadline, every time, every year. What is the right philosophy? You know, going back to that 1997 team, that was the team that the Cougars won a couple of rounds. I don't know, that team, you know, was a sixth-place team that caught fire at the right time. All the injuries had healed and everything sort of came together. But that team didn't really make any moves, and they kept the chemistry together, and that's something that sometimes we underestimate.
Yeah, I remember that. You know, it was I remember Polo coming in. I don't know exactly when it was, if it was a day or two before the deadline or the day of the deadline, but, you know, he kind of came in and gave the group an inspiring speech, just the fact that he believed in what we kind of did early on in the year, that when we were healthy and thought we could, you know, we were starting to trend in the right direction before playoff time, and, you know, kind of lit the fire underneath us that we could do something. And whether that was, you know, the the factor that pushed us over the edge or what, but I mean, it is nice. You get a group that's played together all year and there's a ton of chemistry there, and you know, it worked out for that group. But like I say, I don't know if anyone ever knows the right answer. If we did, everyone would have a championship banner at some point, right? And you know, there's also the other side of the coin where teams have added high profile players or players they believe can help their group and have went on to win. So I mean, it's the game. It's a tough decision for these staffs and the brass of these junior hockey teams or NHL teams that you know, you're under the wrath of fans if it doesn't work out. And if it does, you know, you're top of the hill for maybe a short-lived experience, but you know, the banners never leave the rafters. So you know, I've always been a believer in championships and pushing to win. So you know, I think it's, at the end of the day, I think it's worth it if you believe that it's going to push you over the top.
In the past, when we have talked about your future, you had indicated that it would be pretty difficult because you have a very good day job for you to pursue hockey beyond the level that you are at, which is under 18 BC Elite Hockey League. Has anything changed? Do you have desires? Would it be realistic to go to junior A, WHL, somewhere in the pros, something like that? Or is it still, as far as you're concerned, you're at the highest level you can go because of other circumstances?
I mean, I think me moving forward as a head coach in junior hockey is, I would lean towards saying it's out of the question. Again, the selfish part of me, the hockey guy in me, wants to move up and believes that I could coach at the next level and do a great job at it. But am I willing to put my career and, you know, my family, home, and that kind of thing on hold to chase it? I don't know about that. There's been a couple opportunities that I unfortunately had to turn down that were just for better family decisions. But, you know, in saying that, I've been with Caribou for 8 years now. It's been a long time. We've done some great things. I think it's in a good position here as far as moving forward. But you never know. You know, if something were to come up with the Cougars or Spruce Kings locally as far as an assistant or something like that, I definitely would think long and hard about it. I have a lot of respect for both organizations. Obviously, closer ties with the Cougars just being alumni, but you know, there's great people involved with the Kings that I'm close with. You know, Dave Keogh, I played senior with, and he's the president, and Hosey, obviously, and dealt closely with Alex over the last few years on just their different players. So, you know, I would definitely consider an option there if it were to come up. You know, I don't want to just step away from the game at all. You know, my son's coming up as well. He's involved. He's U11. So, you know, see what he's going to do. I don't necessarily want to coach him, but I'd just like to be around a little bit more if he's going to pursue hockey at a little bit more serious rate. But, I mean, that's kind of yet to be seen. He's young. So, stepping away from the game is not where I want to be right now. But, you know, moving up, it would definitely be a thought and something I'd have to discuss with my family and, you know, again, see what's best for all of us.
How easy is it to attract players to the Caribou Cougars program, starting at U15, then they go to U16, U17, eventually U18? It's quite expensive, especially for out-of-town families. It can be, I guess, anywhere from 10 to 15 grand a season, based on what I've heard in the past. How easy is it to get top-notch players from the north that are not necessarily from PG into the Caribou Cougars program?
You know what? It's some players, some families, it's seamless, and others, it's a challenge. I mean, we kind of try to attract the high-level players from anywhere within our region. You know, we believe our track record is pretty good as far as development and moving guys on. You know, winning championships in the past is also nice. I mean, it's not, I know we're development level, but I, you know, nobody can tell me different that if you're winning hockey games, everything's usually a lot smoother. Last couple of years, we've obviously not won as much as we want to, and you know, I don't know if that's a kind of an aftermath of COVID, but we we are losing some players at a younger age, kind of before we see them to academies, which, you know, typically the academies are quite a bit more money than our program. So I don't think it's the money thing. The sport itself isn't cheap nowadays. We take that very serious. I mean, if I'm paying, like you said, $10,000 to $15,000 a year for my child to play hockey, I would expect some development and, you know, him or her to have a good experience and enjoy the time they had, whether they're moving on in the sport or not. There's so much more that can be taught, you know, away from the rink. So, you know, we're big believers, myself and Trevor and the staff are big believers in building better people and helping them move on in life. And, you know, I know we do that with Caribou. So, you know, I think we do a great job here. And you know, I'd hope the best players in the North would want to stay here and play for Caribou. Unfortunately, there's been some that have left. And it's unfortunate, but, you know, we're fortunate to move some good families on, some good players on. You know, I've kind of been in contact here with Nico over the last year, and I mean, Nico Majatovic is, you know, a poster child for Caribou hockey as far as I'm concerned, a PG kid that, you know, stuck with it and trusted us and trusted the program, and, you know, he's having a great year in the Western League with a good team, you know, pushed for a championship last year, and they'll do the same this year, and, you know, he doesn't talk about himself too much, but he's probably going to go in the draft, and who knows if, you know, where and when, but I mean, to me, he's a kid that's going to play pro hockey, and, you know, it's just nice that we kind of had a helping hand in that, whether it's, you know, a small part or what, but, you know, John Harrington with the Spruce Kings, again, just another local Hudson Hope guy that, you know, stuck it through with us and, you know, landed a scholarship and was doing great things at the Kings and pushing for championships with that local team. And it's just nice to see that there is some trust in the program still. It's just, you know, a few of the families move on for different reasons, and that's, you know, their choice. But I'd like as many Northern guys as we can to stick around and play for Caribou.
You talked a little bit in the past about the relationship the Caribou Cougars has with the PG Cougars and the Prince George Spruce Kings. Can you sort of expand upon that team-wise and the relationships that there are?
Well, I think the situation we're in right now is we're pretty fortunate to have, you know, RJ Barra, who's, you know, an alumni with the Spruce Kings, and myself, who's an alumni with the Cougars, and, you know, Sprager, who's obviously scouted for the Cougars and been around for a long time. So I think the relationship between both teams and us is good. You know, I like the fact that the Spruce Kings have, like I said, Harrington and Macau and Fairley, cousins now that are, you know, guys that came through our program and are doing very well for them. It's, you know, it's a feather in the program's cap, as well as, you know, I think is anytime that the Kings can have a local player that's going to, you know, help them win hockey games, they'll go for it, right? Are they going to get them all? No. And no different than the Cougars. You know, we got Fisher O'Brien and Caden Brown and guys that came through our program that are helping that team. So it's, you know, it's something that we take a great pride in. I don't think we need to be selfish and think that they're going to take all of our players, because it just can't happen. But, you know, I think the relationship has to stay kind of open-minded. And you know, if they call, we're here to help.
Well, Tyler, anything that you would like to add that maybe we haven't discussed as we get set for the second half of the season, outdoor game, eventually playoffs, everything like that?
No, I think I would just add to the fact that, you know, I think we all went through COVID where people weren't allowed to leave their homes, and Prince George is fortunate to have, you know, some great levels of hockey with WHL, BCHL, and then us at the, you know, U18 level and U17 levels. I think there's a lot of great hockey out there to be watched. So if the people want to come out and enjoy great hockey, there's a lot of options. And, you know, I don't think we have to choose between one or the other. I think getting out there and watching it, you'll see the excitement and the entertainment's worth it. And, you know, hopefully all the programs locally can win hockey games and continue to do good things.
Appreciate it, Tyler. All the best the rest of the season.
You bet. Thanks for having me, Harley.
Tyler Brough is the head coach of the Caribou Cougars under-18 team. He is also the president of the Prince George Cougars Alumni Association. You've been listening to CatScan, brought to you by Integris. Local speaks louder than words.